I'm Michelle.
I'm Chris.
And I'm SP from the Starling Tribune,
a podcast member of the Gonna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GonnaGeek.com.
And get ready because geekiness begins in...
3, 2, 1.
Hey friends, Jordan Woods Robinson here from AMC's The Walking Dead and Blue Man Group, and this is PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. We're a geek podcast for geek culture, so are you ready to get your geek on? Sit back, relax, grab some gluten-free, non-GMO popcorn, and let's dive into the world pop culture bliss.
Listening to PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture.
Captain's Log Supplemental.
PopX Cast.
Hasta la vista, baby.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live here on PopX Cast, where science fiction meets pop culture. Lindsay Badger, how in tarnation are you today?
I am awesome.
You are rocking that sweater, girl.
Thank you. Look at that. It's Christmas. It's Star Wars. It's meant to be. It's warm and snuggly.
Oh, my gosh. It is so awesome on you right now. That is so.
Tis the season to be nerdy, Joe.
Well, that sweater is pretty on fleek, I got to say. And we were actually talking beforehand. She was like sitting here like, I got a sweater downstairs, but I don't know if I should wear it. It's cold up here. And I'm like, all right, one, it's cold up in the attic where you're at. And two, you have what? Put the Star Wars sweater on.
And so it happened. Here we are.
Is this rocking the duds? I think honestly, this is like ugly sweater Sunday. I don't know. I'm just making it.
Saturday or Sunday? I think there is an actual ugly sweater day, and it was this weekend at some point. I think this was ugly sweater weekend.
I think it was.
Well, I snuck it in right at the end. So.
Oh man, this is awesome. We got Mike too. He's going to be joining us a little bit later on. Of course, now, if you're wondering where Mr. Austin Burke is, Austin actually got married just yesterday.
He did. And it was a beautiful ceremony, according to the pictures and videos I saw on his page.
Yeah, he did good. I'm really proud of him. And, man, I tell you, him and Madison make such a wonderful couple together.
Congratulations to both of them. I'm so happy for them.
But we will be hearing from Mr. Austin Burke here later in the show because – this is how crazy this kid is. He is so sweet and so awesome. Here he is on his bachelor day. You know, him and his guys are getting ready to go out, and he drops us a video about his review and his what he thought about Star Wars. That's pretty darn cool, right? A day before your wedding.
That's some dedication to a podcast, man. I'm telling you,
he's taking it to new levels. And I don't know, man. I got to beef up my game because. That's just crazy pants. There's no way. I was like, how in the world? Anyway, oh my gosh, this is so complicated, so crazy. But anyway, let's go ahead.
I look forward to hearing what he has to say.
I know, me too. So this is going to be awesome, guys. We are going to be doing something really cool here tonight. This is going to be more of an unscripted style podcast as we dive into two worlds tonight. And of course, we already know one, but the other one we're going to be talking about here in just a minute. But let's open this thing up on the right way.
All right.
Hey guys, welcome to PopX, where science fiction meets pop culture. I'm your host, Joseph Burke, Central Florida's seasoned comic book nerd and retro enthusiast. Now, we would like to welcome everyone joining us live right here, right now on PopX.live. And you know what? Come hang out with us on PopX.live and join the conversation on our official website, PopXcast.com.
That's right. And since Austin's out this week, we're going to cover his part too. Make sure if you missed episode 67, Stranger Things season 2, where we went and threw down all of our thoughts and loves and hates and all of the good stuff, make sure you go to our official website, popxcast.com, and check out that show and all of the other great past shows from PopX.
And speaking of Stranger Things, Lindsay, we have something really special Mike's going to be showing us from the Stranger Things archive very soon. So I can't say anything about that, but it's going to be on this episode. And it's the first time you've ever seen it. It's going to be so awesome.
It's going to be good. Right. I got a sneak peeker.
Yes, yes, you did. All
right. Also, make sure we got to get a little bit more of the dirty deeds out of the way here. Mm-hmm. Make sure you head over to Google Play or iTunes after this show is over and click that subscribe button. Mm-hmm. Catch up on some of our amazing past shows from the PopX archive. And while you're there, we'd certainly appreciate you showing us some love with a 5-star rating and hopefully some nice words in a review.
Look at this. He's got a 5-star candy bar.
I'm loving it. It's so good.
That looks so delicious.
I like candy.
Oh, I like candy too. Hashtag diabetes. All right. But anyway. All right. Well, you know what time it is. It's time for that PopX news.
It's time for the news.
We'll be right back.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. This is PopX News. Coming to you live right here on PopXcast.com.
That's right. And also, we're going to be starting this out. This is so good. I'm so happy. This is number one on the list this week for the news. Marvel has officially announced a second season. You heard me right. A second season for The Punisher. Now, the announcement of a second season of The Punisher via Twitter with the Punisher logo, and it was captioned, "Time to Reload." Oh, yeah. So Marvel's The Punisher will return for season 2 on Netflix. No word on when it will bring its second season to Netflix, but if the marketing campaign for Jon Bernthal's lead series follows the lead of its premiere season, fans probably won't know for sure until a few weeks from release. Now, having said that, I just finished The Punisher.
I was going to ask you. I knew that you said that you had started watching. I was going to ask you if you'd finish it up. Is it thumbs up?
I got to be honest with you, Lindsay. This is probably one of the best Netflix Marvel-produced shows above and beyond, maybe even Daredevil.
Oh, really?
It is.
You hold Daredevil up there.
I hold Daredevil to a very high standard. But after watching this, Jon Bernthal, now we know Jon Bernthal from The Walking Dead. Of course, he played Shane, which was Rick Grimes' counterpart. But he since has expanded his wings into the world of Marvel Cinematic. And now John is just, I mean, when you think about The Punisher, he's embodying that soldier that has come home from the war and is trying to pick up the pieces, not only in his own personal life, but trying to be a father, trying to be a husband. And then, you know, we all know the story of what happens to Frank Castle. His family is killed. So this story in this series picks up in that, and we understand. We get to kind of see some of the characters that were involved in this, and it breaks down a lot of great moments in this. And then of course, Mr. Bernthal, or the Punisher, Frank Castle, befriends a nerd. His name is Micro, and he kind of becomes the nerd in Comm Central, if you will, the nerd behind the computer. And it was a great,
like Felicity Smoke,
but the guy Micro plays.
Like, hot and nerdy.
He plays more of a serious role. He's got his own tormenting conflictions. And so the combination of Frank with all the weight he carries and then Micro with all that's going on, it's a great series. You need to watch it. Nice. Do yourself a favor and just start tonight and go watch The Punisher. I'm serious. And we're going to be doing a PopX Punisher series about it.
Well, right then here. I better get on it.
Yeah, you better get on it. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, man, that sounds awesome. I look forward to it. I'm excited that there's more to come, mm-hmm. even though we don't know what platform it's coming.
Right.
But it's coming. Mm-hmm. That's so exciting. Well, let's keep moving with the news. When Spider-Man swung into the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the character left behind a lot of iconic members of his supporting cast who were featured in previous films. But mounting evidence is pointing toward the Marvel Studios debut of Gwen Stacy in the sequel of Spider-Man Homecoming. As more audition videos begin to surface showing actors auditioning for the role, mm-hmm. it was previously theorized that Gwen Stacy could be a foreign exchange student transferring to Midtown after going to live with her father, a police captain in New York City. It would not be the first time Gwen has appeared on the big screen. Both Emma Stone and Bryce Dallas Howard portrayed the character in previous iterations of Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
But unlike those two versions, this one will continue to be set in high school, in a high school setting established in Spider-Man Homecoming.
I see what they're doing here, and I think Marvel is doing something smart. I think they're going to be starting to slowly introduce Spider-Gwen.
I am excited for that. I've been waiting for this. That's my prediction. The intro and dive a little deeper into the Spider-Man story because it's starting to get a little bit on repeat.
I think we're long overdue for a second spider in the world of the Spider-Verse. And mm-hmm. I think there was a name drop to Miles Morales, and we all know Miles as the alternate Spider-Man, not Peter Parker, but the other Spider-Man, the young teenage Spider-Man that's in Manhattan as well. So that was his name. His uncle's name was even dropped in Spider-Man Homecoming. So there's so many things that they can do with this and go. And I think it would be really cool. And Marvel's kind of on the bandwagon lately of like the female hero lead. And that's nothing wrong with that. And I think having Spider-Gwen in there, wouldn't that be a great contrast? You know, trying to figure each other's powers out. I think it would be so awesome. But that's my prediction. I don't know what Sony and Marvel's going to be doing, but... Moving forward, speaking of Sony and Marvel, Sony Pictures and Marvel have officially released their first trailer for Spider-Man. We just talked about it, Into the Spider-Verse. Now, this is the first animated feature film to feature Marvel's web-slinger. Now, the trailer debuted at Comic-Con Experience in 2017 in São Paulo, Brazil. Now, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, the creative minds behind the Lego Movie and 21 Jump Street, bring their unique talents to a fresh vision of a different Spider-Man universe. Now, with the groundbreaking visual style that's the first of its kind, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse introduces Brooklyn teen Miles Morales, just mentioned him, and the limitless possibilities of the Spider-Verse where more than one can wear the mask. Now, the film opens in theaters. You heard me right. This is a cinematic film. Opens in theaters next Christmas, December the 14th,
yay!
2018. And that's going to be pretty awesome that we look at the, I mean, do yourself a favor. When PopX is over, go find the trailer on YouTube for Spider-Man.
I haven't even heard of this, so I'm really excited to hear this news come
out. The visuals, I've never seen anything done like this, Lindsay. I don't know how they're doing the visuals on this, but it's a combination of CGI and full on animation. It's really amazing. So it's going to be really exciting to see that.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. Well, we're quickly rolling up towards the last, I don't even want to call it a nugget because it's like a boulder of news.
Oh my God. It's a nerd boulder.
All right, you guys have probably at least heard little whispers if you've not totally devoured yourself in the headlines of this topic, but the deal for Disney to acquire key assets from Fox's entertainment branch has officially gone through.
Boom.
You've been sleeping under a rock if you haven't heard anything about this. Under the terms of the deal, Disney will take ownership of 21st Century Fox's film and TV divisions, as well as the affiliate networks like FX.
Mm-hmm.
Disney is purchasing the assets for $52.4
billion dollars,
ladies and gentlemen. That's just chump change for the old mouse.
Why, yeah.
Oh, boy, pal.
Fox will retain Fox News Channel and Fox Broadcasting, which runs the Fox Network, and the FS1 and FS2 sports channels. In addition to 21st Century Fox Film and TV Studios, Disney is also purchasing Fox's 30% stake in Hulu, multiple regional sports networks, and a share in the Sky family of networks over in Europe. This deal has clear benefits for both companies.
Okay. Insert conversation.
We are going to peel back all the layers of this crazy onion.
And I do believe that our very own Mr. Mike Ippolito is probably going to join us here on camera. And what's up, Mikey?
What's up?
How you doing, man? It's good to see you. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Yes, I see that you got your Buddy the Elf attire on. It looks awesome.
Happy Festivus.
So, I have no idea what I'm talking about. So, anyway, I think this is going to be one of the biggest merging conglomerates that we've seen probably in our time. It's a big one. This is a big one. And I've been getting a lot of questions. I've been getting a lot of Twitter instant messages and Instagram messages and like, what do you think about this? What's going to happen to this? And so I think kind of opening up the conversation for a second, I think that we are going to see productions that we've long dreamed about, characters on the screen at the same time that we have only just been a glimmer of our imagination. Let me just say, Incredible Hulk and Wolverine on the screen at the same time. What? It can happen.
Yes.
So most notably, we're going to have X-Men and Fantastic Four complete rosters. Everything from Silver Surfer, Galactus, you name it. It's all going to be now part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
All the supers and all the mutants will be in one.
And Mike, what's your thoughts on? I mean, do you have anything you want to add to that specifically?
There was a lot of questions about what's going to happen specifically to Deadpool, and Bob Iger didn't waste no time in saying basically we're just going to leave it the way it is, and they're talking about spinning off a division that will just be rated R movies.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying that they just let the audience know what's coming and everything will be fine. Yeah, I know. You know, when you hear the Disney brand, you think of their style of movies, but this is uncharted territory for them. I think it's going to work out. That was one of my concerns. As far as destroying that franchise, and he knows where the money is. So if the money's there, then they'll do what they have to do to make sure they keep it going.
Yeah,
and I heard a small rumor that James Gunn is thrilled about this. And it was kind of hinting at a possible Silver Surfer movie that he would direct.
What
he's done with Guardians, I can only imagine how good this movie will be.
Oh, man. Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're long due for his own film, because even though he had a small cameo part in Fantastic Four 2, it wasn't a bad role. Don't get me wrong. No. It's not a bad movie. It's just, a little dated for its time, maybe. But I mean, come on. The Silver Surfer is a cosmic being, and he alone can destroy. If you think about this, he alone can kill Wolverine and Incredible Hulk. He's one of the most top-tiered, most powerful in all of Marvel. I mean, I would say maybe even above Thanos, possibly.
It's possible, man.
I know that one of the popular concerns that I've seen kind of floating around is the government stopping this or modifying it possibly because of the fear of a monopoly on the market. And I think that's one of the major reasons why they didn't take the news network, why they didn't take the sports networks, because they already have ABC and all of their news stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have ESPN and all of their news stuff. So they left that stuff alone.
Yeah.
And I don't see there being really any other conflicts with this deal. Have you guys heard of anything?
Well, I mean, I think that the partnership with Sony coming into the Marvel Sony giving the rights to Spider-Man for to be used in the Avengers and Civil War. I think, that's not an issue now. And I think that I think it's going to be a great, really.
Sony still owns Spider-Man. They're just allowing.
Correct.
Which is different.
Yeah. There's a really cool graphic out there if you can ever find it, but it kind of shows it's a massive circle, and it shows all the characters that is owned by MCU, and then it shows these little half circles, and it shows which characters are in the MCU and which characters that company still owns, like 20th Century Fox, and you know, now it's all been liquidated into one. It's going to be really interesting to see, you know, if those characters, well, like for example, Dr. Octopus is owned by Sony Pictures still. And so okay. Doc Ock, well, you know, there's still, there would have to be a negotiating agreement to let Doc Ock come into a future film. So I think it's why one of the key reasons why Sony gave the Vulture, which was Michael Keaton's character, to Marvel. It's like, okay, we haven't used Vulture in a film. You can have him. And yeah, so,
that's
cool. And you know, you also think about it too. I think, there's a whole side of this coin that a lot of people aren't thinking. We're all thinking so fixated on Marvel Comics. Let's talk about Star Wars for a second. Okay. There is a vault in Fox's studios where they have the original negatives from Star Wars that has been kind of in a vault for the past 40 years.
I think they're going to dust them off and let's remaster and release again.
I personally think it's about time that we see the true theatrical release. I mean, the one that was unedited, unaltered by George Lucas in the 90s and the early 2000s.
Yes.
Because let's just say I've actually seen the deconstructed version of Star Wars, which is the bringing it back from the old reel to reels. And there's a lot of things in there I forgot that I saw. And I was like, oh, my gosh, these paintings and the landscapes were just so beautiful. And I'm like, well, why would you cut
and
that?
And, you know, the timing would just be incredibly perfect because mm-hmm. by the time the deal gets done, the stuff gets pulled and mm-hmm. redone and reformatted for release.
Yep.
The series is going to be over.
I know.
So you're going to have box sets and original releases and all, you know, money coming in for that.
Well, if you think about it, though, did you hear the news that Rian Johnson got actually asked to come in and do the new trilogy?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. He did such a good job with The Last Jedi that he's actually going to be, I don't want to say drafted, but he's going to kind of be escorted into the new trilogy when it comes out. So there's going to be a 10, 11, 12.
Well, I think we heard that it was a different storyline.
It's going to be
different.
Oh yeah.
Different story.
Yeah. It's going to be, it's going to carry the number chronological from what I understand, if I'm not mistaken. Now I could be mistaken on that. If I am mistaken, then I don't know. I just make a lot of mistakes. True. So it's just mistakes. You know what I'm saying? Mistakes. It's all good.
Yep. Right. Well, and also with this merger, don't forget all of the awesome TV shows that come across the lines.
And that's where I was going to go next.
Yeah. Family Guy.
Well, think about Gotham.
And yes, Gotham.
All right. So wait a minute. This gets really weird. So Gotham is on Fox, as we all know, and it's one of the Fox's premier shows. So now for the first time, this is so weird, Disney owns a part of DC Comics. How does that happen?
This is crazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it. I mean, this is so bizarre, you know?
I'm sure there's a lot out there that we don't know. I'm sure there's this whole deal was thousands of pages. But
what's next? Is it going to be, are they going to be acquiring CW next?
I don't know, man. If Disney owns CW, I'd just be like, oh my God, this is a monopoly. What's going on here? I can't, this is not happening, but.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But I'm so excited. There's so many questions. There's so many what ifs. There's so many theories.
Yeah.
Only time will tell what's actually going to come to fruition. But I mean, what would you like to see? Maybe something new come out of all of this new acquisition. That
Personally, and I'm gonna let Mike answer. Then Lindsay, I want to hear from you what you would like to see. But I would like to see. You know how we have Stan Lee cameos. I would love to see Deadpool cameos randomly for no particular reason. Just Ryan Reynolds in the middle of an Avengers battle scene is like, oh, hey, what are you guys doing?
What's up, guys?
I'm just over here, you know, sharpening my nails, eating a chimichanga, you know, something crazy what he does. And it can happen now. It can happen now. So
yeah.
That's awesome. I mean,
there's so many fantastic possibilities. The one thing that I'm actually looking forward to now, because I was a little bit concerned about mm-hmm. Disney going off and starting their own streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually ready to jump ship if this falls through because, or not falls through, goes through, excuse me. But nothing's falling.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have so much great content available on one format or one place that it's like, gee, I don't know.
Think about it, like nine, maybe 12 bucks a month. Netflix,
you just raised my service a dollar a month. I might have to consider.
Right. Well, think about it, though. I mean, you're going to have all the Marvel movies, all the Disney animation movies, everything at your fingertips.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And I'm a mama of two, and I love my Disney princesses.
Yeah, so.
You've already had me sold, but to add that to the pot,
I know. That's going to be so. Like,
it's a shut up and take my money moment.
Yeah. One thing I am curious about, though, how is the FCC going to be able to mandate all of this? Because now that Disney owns, what is it, like 35, 40% of the market now?
Yeah.
They're
pushing their threshold, I think. If they were to try to add anything more on to that deal or in the future add more to what they already own, they're going to be running into some issues.
I will say this. If Disney owned DC Comics, we wouldn't have the Henry Cavill horrible mustache. Oh, my gosh. It looks like that Superman was on Snapchat. So bad. Anyway. Moving on from that craziness. Now, to put Deadpool fans at ease, like we said earlier, Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, has said that there is a place for R-rated movies in their branding, and Deadpool and future films like are going to be part of that. And so
a relief for me.
Yeah.
Because that was one of our big concerns that we were talking about when we first heard about this.
And, you know, I think it's good that we're hearing this because Bob Iger actually has his finger on the pulse and is listening to what people are saying about it.
And Ryan Reynolds was so against that very reason. So that perked some ears.
It did.
There's still going to be a lot of arms thrown up in the air. You're going to get like the different, you know, the parents, parent TV committee, TV committee, they're going to start with it. But they've had this all figured out for years before this became public.
Yeah.
So, and I'm sure, you know, they know where the money is and Iger knows where the money is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and to destroy the Deadpool franchise, I think you could just...
You can't kill it like that, man.
Aggravity.
No, that would be a tragedy in itself.
Deadpool was a surprise blockbuster for everyone. It came in and obliterated the market, and it was like, what is this Deadpool movie, and why is it making so much money? And I think that going forward, Disney knows that, and they know it's going to be very profitable. And think about this, too. Last thing, and we'll get on from the Disney-Fox merger. But so Disney at Animal Kingdom here in Orlando built Avatar Land.
Yes.
Go back and do your research. Avatar is owned by Fox. This thing was in project 4 years ago. Think about that. So they probably have been in discussions privately, and we're just now hearing about it.
Oh, yeah. So it's been going on for a while.
Yeah, something that's not new.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Iron out all the wrinkles.
All right, guys. So we want to hear what you have to think about this Disney-Fox merger. And if you're concerned about it, if you're elated and ecstatic about it, we want to hear. Drop us a comment below and let us know what you think about it, whether you're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or on here on our YouTube live page or on popxcast.com. Be sure to comment below. Now, having said that, we are going to kind of now gradually go into the PopX Hit It of the Week. Don't go nowhere.
And now it's time for PopX's of the Week.
Yeah. So Mike is going to be leading out this week's PopX Hit It of the Week, and he has something pretty awesome. Mike, you might want to refresh your camera right quick before you go on there. You're a little bit glitchy, but if you can refresh, if you can.
While he's refreshing, I'll just do my super, super micro fast Hit It. Look at this hair, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, she's rocking the Ray hair right there.
That's I've got my Ray hair tonight. Yeah. See, there's my Hit It.
Mike, you look crystal clear, my friend. Now, what have you got? What is this Stranger Things thing that you have?
Well, last week on the back end of Stranger Things, I had mentioned that I had purchased a special edition box set that was basically this particular box set was only available in the UK. And now, 3 weeks later, it's finally showed up.
Uh-oh. Get ready for it.
It's this right here.
Dude.
UK import, a four-disc vinyl set, special edition from the original score from the movie, from the TV show.
It's so sweet.
And this is only available in the UK?
This particular version is only available in the UK. There are US variants of this. There's about eight variants total.
How did you get a copy again?
I bought it directly from Amazon UK, and they sent it from the UK, you know, by international. And UPS has their own international service.
Royal Mail.
Well, chip, cheerio to you, sir. So, yeah.
But it just comes, the artwork is pretty amazing on the inside.
Wow. Look at that.
And I'll just show you the vinyl. The vinyl sleeve also has some amazing artwork.
Look at that. Look at 11 there. Wow.
And then the actual vinyl disc itself.
It's clear, dude.
So it's clear, a little spattered. They have variations of this.
Hold that up to the camera. Oh, my.
It looks like it's shattered almost. That's really awesome.
Dude, that is beautiful.
So it's a four-disc set. Basically, the other three discs are exactly the same. And it comes with a bunch of collector cards as well from characters from the show.
Now, have you had a chance to listen to it yet, Mike?
Yes, I listened to the first side, and it's vinyl's quite nostalgic. So, it's got that pretty amazing sound to it.
Wow, that is so cool, man. Well, thanks for sharing, dude. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And on the tails of Mike's hit it of the week, I'm going to be doing my own here. So what I'm going to be talking about this week is, and then we're going to get into Last Jedi. I promise we're saving the best for last. All right. So we all know that Battlefront came out a couple years ago, it was a kind of a big blockbuster because it kind of redefined, pretty much everything that we know about Star Wars and how to play Star Wars on modern consoles. And this was the forefront game for that. And even though Battlefront, had its quirks and had its issues and there were some mechanic problems, all in all, it was not a bad game. Now, having said that, Battle 2, I just picked this up this weekend, and first time playing it, and I didn't pick up a deluxe edition or anything like that. I do have some video footage to show you guys of Battlefront here. So give me just a second while I pull that up here. Yeah. And all right, so here we have a little bit of the video footage from Battlefront. And this is some stuff that we captured, and it's really awesome because the game is beautiful to look at. I mean, this is probably one of the best visual games that I've ever seen from the Star Wars franchise. And honestly, I was looking at reviews over on IGN, and I got to tell you, man, IGN just kind of reamed this game out, and I don't understand why. I don't know if they just anti-Star Wars and their ratings, but if I was going to give this game a rating, I would give it a solid 8 out of 10 because the campaign mode alone is just amazing because you immediately right into the Rebels Alliance, and you are playing an outsider. You're playing someone from the First Order that is in the Rebels world, and so you've got to kind of go through the storyline, and the story mode and multiplayer is just fantastic. Yeah, there is, if you're a COD player, Call of Duty, and you're coming from that world playing this game, there is a little bit of a learning curve in terms of maneuverability, but this game is just stunning. All around, it's stunning, and it picks up, honestly, takes place right in the middle of the storyline of Star Wars, and any true fan would definitely love and appreciate this. As you can see right now on the screen, we have the Battle of Crait going on, and it is absolutely gorgeous. And so everything from the red sand plumes and all of that just going on, it's truly a fantastic game. And I couldn't say more about it. And I don't understand why a lot of these online places are just kind of dogging it and giving it a bad rap. But I got to say, from my personal experience, it's truly amazing. So go out and enjoy this game. You can rent it at places like Redbox and just try it out for a night or two and see if you like it. Good thing is, if you rent it, it has saved your progress on your PS4, and you can go buy the game or digitally buy it, and you can just pick right up where you left off. So it's a good, for $4, you can try the game overnight. Well, and
it looked beautiful. The game itself looked beautiful, but I know that there was a massive backlash for this title specifically because of the way EA had it set up to where they have, you have to spend money to advance
Yeah, and that was another thing I was going to address too. Is and I got to tell you from my own personal experience, I don't feel like I need to drop all this money to be able to unlock certain features and stuff like that. Now, I, like I said, I don't have the deluxe version. I don't have the. I didn't pay for all that. I just actually I got this for free, as a matter of fact, because I traded in my old console this weekend for the PS4 Pro. But the game overall for me is really awesome. It's a continuation of the storyline. And if you just come from the theaters and you just saw The Last Jedi, I definitely recommend you picking up this game because there's a story inside of a story and you get to be the character in this story. And it's truly awesome. So solid 8.0 from the PopX team for Battlefront 2. And definite great companion for any Star Wars fan. All right. Very nice. So, having said that, are you guys ready to dive into the world of Star Wars?
Roll that beautiful spoiler alert. Let's drop some.
All right. We're going to drop some spoiler alerts. Don't go nowhere. We'll be right back. Beyond this point, there is no return.
Danger. You are about to enter a PopX spoiler alert. Beyond this point, there is no return. You have been warned.
You have been warned. All right, so there it is. You all right? If you've not seen it, I'm sorry. We've let you know.
Don't
about
yell
it.
At me.
But so we're actually going to be diving into this pretty good here. And Lindsay, why don't you do us the honors and maybe give us a short opener, kind of what you thought about it, and what maybe your kids and your husband thought about it.
Yeah, we took the whole family to the movie theaters this morning. And so it was a little bit of a challenge sitting next to a three-year-old, but he did fantastic. I was very proud of him for doing that. And it was, goodbye, Darth. We'll see you on the replay.
Darth sorry, Darth Baca is like out of here. Okay.
Yeah, she's like, I got to go.
Take care.
Bye. It did not disappoint.
Mm.
I'm going to start with that.
Okay.
It was very exciting. The storyline carried you. It answered a lot of the open-ended questions that you had before from the previous episode. It also left you with a few questions as well at the end, because obviously we're not done telling the story yet.
Right.
But there was the visuals were just gorgeous. Oh. I was so excited to see Luke actually speak.
He had a pretty big role too.
He had a major role, and I was so glad that he got to come back, and he did have some interaction with Leia and some with Rey and with Kylo, and he tied up all of his loose ends, and he had a good ending.
Yeah.
I think that was really, really awesome. And I will tell you honestly what the best part of the movie was for me.
What was that?
It wasn't even the movie itself. It was my 7-year-old saying, it's Luke Skywalker.
Really?
And I was like, I am done as a mother.
I am winning as a parent.
That was probably my best part of the whole movie.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, that's a good reaction, you know.
Like, it's like Skywalker. Wow. It was so good. That was at the end whenever he channeled himself to the other planet and did his lightsaber throwdown. Abby was in it.
Wow.
100%. It was so good.
Yeah.
I loved the use of color.
Oh, yeah, man.
Symbolism in this movie, it was so strong in this movie, even more than any of the other movies, I feel. Rey, in the last movie, she was all white, tan, off-white, pure light colors. This movie, she's more gray because she's tapped into her darker and she's found her balance because, you know, there's everything with balance and force. Yeah. And it kind of freaks Luke out because he can see the darkness in her, but he also sees the light. So he doesn't know what she's kind of fence sitting.
Yeah.
It's freaking him out.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, Ben or Kylo Ren is all dark.
Oh, yeah.
Thankfully, he loses the stupid helmet.
Yeah. Did you notice you were talking about colors and symbolism? Did you notice that the sand plumes on the planet of Crait were all red?
Yes.
Did you get the subliminal meaning in there, like self-sacrifice? Red.
Yeah. Another symbolism meaning is on the. You'll have to help me with the names of the planets because I'm horrible with those. But the gambling planet.
Oh, geez.
Where they went to the casino?
Yeah, I
had the racing.
Yeah.
Animal shoot. Things. Everybody was wearing black and white because they were arms dealers for the good guys and the bad guys.
Oh, look at you, a symbolism. Oh,
yeah, so I picked up on that right away, and I was like, oh my God, I'm loving this so much right now.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Was there an aha moment for you?
When Yoda showed up.
That's mine.
I was like, Yoda's here.
Oh my God.
We can all die happily now. Yoda has re-showed up. He looked a little different though.
Well, here. But, we'll talk about that in a second.
I'm used to looking at, you know
that whole scene, that whole, you know, I guess.
That whole scene like confused the heck out of my husband.
Really?
It did. He's like, why are they burning the tree?
Oh, it's because the script. Anyway, the manuals. They're restarting the whole definition of what Jedi is.
Yes, they're redefining everything. They're kind of like purifying, cleansing the palate. You know, do over.
You know, one of the awesome things, Lindsay, I loved about that, the whole Yoda sequence, and it seemed like it was so much longer than it probably really was. It seemed like it was a good 5, 6, maybe 7 minutes. But there was a scene in there, and he wasn't a CGI. They went back to the traditional Yoda-looking puppet.
What?
That was not CGI.
What?
That was the 70s. Of course, it was new.
No way. Yeah. I'm going to have to go back and look at it again because he looked way different than what I remember.
That's why he looks so different, because it was the original puppet from Empire Strikes Back. Well, not the original one. The original one's probably decaying somewhere in some warehouse.
Probably.
But they used, they used all the concepts from all of that. And if I'm not mistaken, it was Frank Oz
was
returning
so cool
to do.
It was so cool to see a Jedi spirit come back. Because you always see those in different of the past episodes, you know. And I was so glad that they brought that back into this new set. And of the trilogy.
What I love about it too is as a Jedi or someone that's in the Force passes away, they truly never pass away. Their energy is always with you, and we see that in Yoda so many times.
And they kind of touched on that again in the middle of that battle at the end with between Luke and Ben. You didn't know that it was a projection. Whenever they first stabbed him, but then you were like, oh, and then he started talking about, I'm sorry and you'll never truly kill me. I'll always be with you. Yeah. All this other, sentimental stuff. But, it just reiterates the whole thing that we've always been taught about the Jedi is that you never truly die.
Well, let's get nerdy for a minute. And then we're going to still hear from Austin Burke. Who has dropped it. I want to hear from this guy right over here, Mr. Mike Ippolito. So we're going to hear from everybody here in just a second, but I want to drop some nerd nuggets for you. Okay. All right, so some things I picked up was, did you notice that Luke Skywalker embodies both the dark and the light? Because if you remember, the prophecy says that there's supposed to be balance to the Force.
Yes.
Anakin was not that balance, but Anakin's offspring. Was. And so Luke embodying both sides, he's able to see, even though he's been tempted by the dark side, he can see it, but he doesn't choose to go that way. And, in the movie, we've learned that Luke has kind of distanced himself for the past 30 years from the Force. He's just been living on this island, and he said it in quote, I've just come here to die.
Right.
And Rey is just pestering him all along, just trying, I need you to come
back
with
me. I
loved
her persistence, though. That was fantastic.
And in all of that, we learn that Luke has, in some ways, he started the chain of events that led up to the birth of Kylo Ren from Ben.
Yes.
he made a bad decision about when he was at the Jedi Training Academy, and we all know the story how the academy was caught on fire, and we find out why that happened in this film. It's because Luke couldn't determine if Ben was light or dark, and he sensed a force in him that he hasn't sensed in a long time until Rey came along. And Rey is so powerful that it even scares Luke himself. He's like,
yeah, it freaked him out.
It's like, who are you? Where are you from? And you know, he's trying to train her, but he's realizing that she is so powerful in the Force, she can't be trained. She is a full embodiment of everything that the Force is, and she has acquired all these abilities without even training. She can move objects and stones. She can, I mean, she just Force pulls everything.
Now, it's correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't this the first time we see people actually having, like, conversations, like, between Rey and Ben?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it's like they're in the same room, but they're in two different complete places, and they're having, like, full scenes this way. I think that's the first iteration of showing that type of the Force.
And, you know, there's so many, well, let's just talk about Snoke getting offed halfway through the film. I'm like, yeah.
He seemed kind of easy.
You know? He was a little too easy. If he's an emperor or he's the leader of the First Order.
He's Sith, though, yeah, correct? He's full on.
As far as we know, because he keeps telling Ben to embody his grandfather, which is Darth Vader. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's just like.
And we kind of learn a little bit about Snoke the last episode, but we don't really know much of his history.
Yeah, and so we don't know the origins of Snoke. And we still don't know who Rey's parents are, even though Ben says they're nothing but, what was it? Worthless junk traders or something like that?
Yeah, worthless scavenger scum.
But we still don't know her origins. I mean, it could be something like Anakin, where the midichlorians literally manifested themselves and there's Rey.
It's very, very, probably what happened.
It's really interesting, though, because the whole film itself had so many unexpected moments.
It did.
But it worked.
My heart went out for Poe.
Poe Dameron. Yeah.
Poe was so passionately trying to get everybody where they needed to be as safe as possible. Yep. And he was, like, spinning his tires the entire movie.
And I didn't understand that, too. I didn't understand why the Rebel Alliance was purposely
ignoring him.
Yeah, I didn't understand that part.
That stuff. I'm like, you guys, I know that he might seem a little reckless because he did kind of take out the entire
bombers. That's probably the reason why.
He didn't intentionally do that.
I think probably logistically in the Rebel Alliance, they're like, he's literally destroyed our entire bombing fleet. Yeah. By one action, and
that stung.
That's probably his.
But
payment.
I mean, after that, whenever they were like getting shot out of the sky, and Poe is like, "This is a bad idea. You need to. You're killing more people than I did."
And there was a scene there, truly kind of like I was on the edge of my seat, and it was a scene where when Snoke died, and Ben and Rey were almost getting ready to form an alliance. And Rey had that decision to make. It's like, what am I doing here? You know, and even
did I feel just a touch of romance in that as well? Just a touch.
I don't think a touch of romance, but maybe a touch of a familiarity. So maybe like even ancestry familiarity.
Oh, that's possible.
You know, that's what I was like. It's all familiar.
Yeah. I noticed that there was not as much focus on the romance between Finn and Rey. Mm-hmm. And they left that more for Rose and Finn to play out. And it was really more like fangirl. Yeah. A fangirl crush moment.
And one more thing before I'm going to let Mike come on. And then after Mike, we're going to share Austin's video. But one more thing. Can we give it up for Carrie Fisher using the Force to save her own life?
Yes.
For the first time, we have seen Leia Organa literally use the Force. And I heard a review earlier that kind of felt a little bit like Guardians of the Galaxy, where she's kind of floating in space and she's
If you were at all even questioning that this was a sci-fi movie, she just solidified that for you.
Oh, yeah. It was so awesome, though, to be able to see her embody the Force and be able to save her own life in the middle of space and just kind of like propel herself through space into the docking bay. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That was pretty spectacular. And so it was moments like that.
It was kind of weird for me. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. But, I mean, I was happy.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, that would have been such a, you know, such a Yondu way to go.
Yondu way to go. I love you, boy. I'm Mary Poppins, y'all.
I love you.
But
love you.
Mike, I want to hear from Mike. Let's get Mike in here and let him. I want to hear what he thought about The Last Jedi. And just some of those.
The mirror room made me feel a little bit Harry Potter too.
The mirror room was a little freaky for me, but let's turn it over to Mr. Ippolito here and see what he has to say.
I'm going to go right from the beginning where they kind of rolled back a little bit to the Force Awakens where Rey hands Luke the lightsaber,
mm-hmm.
and then he just throws it over the mountain.
Oh my gosh! Yeah,
that was just like, perfect right there.
I mean, you got a piece. But, you got a piece of Star Wars legacy in your hands, and this is your original lightsaber from A New Hope, and you just chuck it over your shoulder into the ocean. Really?
But I mean, just to start off the movie like that was great.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just gonna kind of bounce around. Just some of the stuff like you brought up was the Yoda. When I saw the original Yoda, I'm going, there's no way that was CG. I mean, I know CG is good these days, but not like that. It was the original, not the original, but going to throwback, original Yoda puppet.
So awesome.
To see, you know, for him to go on the Millennium Falcon and grab the dice that's hanging.
Yeah.
You know, that was a throwback from, you know, the originals. And there's a lot of pretty good throwbacks to it. To see Carrie Fisher on this big screen, you know, some of the parts were hard to watch, you know, when she was, you know, sucked out into space, and I'm going, I guess that's the way they're going to end it. And then it just, you know, she brought herself back in, and I'm going, now they're going to leave it open for something else.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't see the end coming with, you know, with Luke. I thought he kind of came out all, you know, his beard was all cleaned up. His hair was all, you know, in place.
But did you know why that happened, Mike?
Uh-huh.
All right. Listen to this. This is going to blow your mind. All right. So I'm the guy that blows minds here. So everybody remembers Luke as the brown-haired guy, the Jedi, because when he was at the Jedi Academy, everybody remembered him in that shape. They don't remember him what he truly looked like, older and gray. So when he projected himself, he's projecting his spirit. And so everybody that saw Luke Skywalker was seeing him 30 years younger.
The younger version. Yeah.
So, boom.
He was in black, too, in his projection, by the way.
Yeah. Overall, it was a great movie. It just when you think of, say, okay, not paying attention to the time, you're saying, okay, well, it looks like it's going to be ending here, and then it just starts into something else, and then it just kept going. But and to a lot of stuff, I didn't, you know, I thought, like, as far as Rey, you know, which side was she going to choose?
Yeah,
and then Ben, which side was he going to choose? And then it just kind of, you know, then the battle towards the end where they fought between the lightsaber and that thing split in half and exploded. That was unreal. But overall, I enjoyed it. If I get a chance, I'd see it again.
Yeah, I think I would have. What would have kind of been the cherry on top for me is actually seeing Luke Skywalker just battle it out one last time, and you know, just see him like force pull those walkers over and just like, you know, use what he has acquired over his entire lifetime. But instead, you know, we get the projection and being like the angry teenager, kill him. I want him dead. Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I think that Kylo Ren probably needs some Ritalin or something like that. But,
Could be. I'm looking forward to see how it all it'll close out in the next film.
You should, yeah.
Looking forward to see how it all close out.
What was your favorite moments, Mike? Did you have like a moment that just really kind of stood out to you?
I like the beginning where he just kind of threw the lightsaber. Kind of like that. And the Yoda puppet just kind of, I was just thrilled just to see a throwback like that.
That was awesome.
The battle scenes, and then when Snoke has Rey, you know, held up and the lightsaber sitting in, you see it kind of turn and it just goes right through him and cuts him in half. I was like, that's pretty cool. That made you think, you know, you don't know which side he's going to take. And they kind of left it open until towards the end.
Yeah. I'm a little disappointed we didn't know who Rey's parents were, though.
That's true. Like, I really wanted that answer. Can we take a moment to mention the incredible awesomeness of flying a ship light speed through a destroyer?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was a pretty awesome scene. And
that was incredible.
That was Rose, right? A little bit of self sacrifice from Rose.
No, that was not Rose. It was the second in command, the vice commander chick with purple hair.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
That was who it was. She turned her ship around and
that's exactly right. I couldn't put my finger on her character at first. Are you a plant from the First Order there to kind of screw everything up? I mean, I was like, who is this girl hanging out with purple hair? But then we understand that her and Leia are truly really connected and understanding. Yeah. So that kind of gave me a little bit of relief. So we're going to go ahead and roll Mr. Austin Burke's amazing video right now. So we'll be right back. Don't go nowhere. This is Austin Burke and his own take on Star Wars, The Last Jedi.
What's up, Joe, Lindsay, Mike? I've been having my bachelor party this weekend. Not much of a bachelor party. We really just went and watched Star Wars, The Last Jedi. So I'm going to give you guys my thoughts real quick just because I want to talk about this. And I know we're in spoiler territory, so I can mention a few things that I couldn't in my review on YouTube. First off, this movie took so many chances. My goodness, I wanted something fresh. I wanted something new. And we definitely got something fresh and new with Rian Johnson. I think his direction was maybe some of the best we've ever seen in Star Wars. I loved all of the characters. I thought Rey was fantastic. Fantastic. Luke Skywalker, Mark Hamill, debatably his best performance yet. Same with Carrie Fisher. She gave such a great performance. She finally used the Force. We watched Leia use the Force for the first time. The scene felt, it was kind of weird. It felt more of a Marvel movie than it did Star Wars, but I like the fact that she finally used the Force. Of course, we get all of the crazy awesome stuff with Luke. I wanted some kind of action scene with Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker, maybe destroying something with his hand or using a lightsaber. We got something similar towards the end, but we didn't get exactly what I wanted. But that's the thing about this movie. What I wanted and what we got were very different. But I can't say that what we got was not really entertaining and really enjoyable. I think that's one of the big things online, because you see a lot of people debating right now, oh my gosh, it didn't meet my expectations. It didn't do this, it didn't do that. And look, I get it. Going in with expectations and going in with certain ideas of how the story is going to go, I understand that. But this movie just blew me away with the fact that it was so different from the Star Wars movies that we know and the Star Wars movies that we have seen before, although it did take elements from Attack of the Clones, Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. It used all of those things to come together as a brand new experience, and I love the fact that we are going forward in a future where there's more Jedi. I mean, we get the tease towards the end. Rey is, of course, the ultimate Jedi right now, because Luke, you know, he does the whole thing where he's like, boom, I'm gone. Luke Skywalker, part of the Force now. And then, of course, the Yoda scene was just unexpected. Fantastic. Really cool. They used a puppet as opposed to CGI. I thought it worked super well. I loved all the animatronics. I loved everything about the special effects to this movie. And I think the fact that we now have a hero, a very clear hero, and a very clear villain, it didn't answer all of the questions that we wanted answered from The Force Awakens, and it answered a few, and it was just kind of like, we're going to push that to the side. But it established the future for this franchise, and I cannot wait to see where Episode 9 goes. I am curious to see what they do with Leia as a character. I love the fact that we got more of Poe. I can't wait to see more of him. The only storyline that really bothered me was Finn and Rose. I love the way that they portray their characters. I just think their little thing that they went off and did, it was really cool, some great visuals. I just thought it could have been shortened. It could have been perfected, I think, or maybe just kind of thrown out completely. And I hate to say that, but those are nitpicks. Those are things not taking away from the entire experience. Guys, listen, I watched this movie. I needed a couple of hours before it really soaked in. But once I thought about it and I got past the fact that it didn't do exactly what I wanted it to do, but I looked at the filmmaking and I said, you know what? They did what they wanted to do and they executed it really well. I think if you guys are on board with that, then you'll be on board with the movie. movie, I gave this movie a 95, a 9.5 out of 10. I know that seems a little high, but really just give this, let marinate on it for a day. If you can marinate on it and I think really get what the director was going for, I think this is going to be a movie that changes the game for Star Wars movies. I can't wait to see it, guys. Thank you so much for letting me do this, Joe. You guys, I'm sure, having a fantastic show up to this point. Continue to watch Pop X Cast and support us. I love this place, and I'm gonna go get married. I'll see y'all later.
Oh my God, there's something wrong with it. I'm gonna go get married. Goodbye. I'm gonna go get married. Oh my gosh, we're back here, and so that was Austin's take on Austin. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy wedding weekend. Yeah. You crazy, crazy human being, you. But we love you to pieces, and
big old nerd. You.
We wish you the best to Madison and Austin from all of us here at PopX. But so that pretty much sums it up. And you know, we've talked about so many little things, and we didn't. If you notice this week, we didn't really even cover Easter eggs because we've had so much to talk about between the Disney Fox merger and all of this. But I do want to leave us on a note. What is our final rating? Now, if we were going to do this from 1 to 10. What?
It's time for readings already. I can't believe it.
It is. It's an hour has come and gone, and this is crazy how fast it flies when we're talking. Now, I want to let ladies go first. Now, ladies, okay. So, what is your final number?
Well, before I throw out my final number, I did. No, we hadn't mentioned anything about the creatures.
Oh,
the animal life that was created and introduced. That was just absolutely phenomenal. The crystal foxes and the porgs and even the blue milk cows.
That was bizarre.
I was like, that is a nod back to the very first movie of Farming Blue Milk. You guys, this is like, so I have to give a nod to all of the creativity that went into to all of the
we saw where the blue milk came from. Yeah.
Yes, we did. It was a little interesting way to figure that out.
What's your verdict, Badger?
All right, my verdict, I think I'm going to have to throw down with a... I'm going to just do like a 9.1.
A 9.1, okay.
I'm going to do a 9.1. It was really good all the way around. There was a couple of weak parts, but overall it was a fantastic movie, and I think it's a great continuation.
I'm excited to see it for a second time because I know, you know, when you first see a film like this, of this spectacle for the first time, there's so much to take in that your mind and your eyes are just looking everywhere. So
I'm going to have to watch it at least 3 more times.
I'm probably going to have to watch
300 more times.
I may definitely watch it again this week. Now, Mike Ippolito over here from Atlanta, Georgia, what was your verdict on Star Wars: The Last Jedi?
Overall, it was great. I kept you going all the way to the end, and I would definitely go see it again. I'm going to go with a 9.4 on this.
Nice.
I definitely would like to see it again for some stuff that I may have missed first time around.
And there's so much. There's so much, man. So we have, 9.1 from Stacy, 9.4.
Whoa.
I mean, wait a minute, Lindsay. From Lindsay. I'm sorry.
Dang.
I said Stacy because it's my it's my sister-in-law's birthday today. So
happy birthday, Stacy.
Stacy up in South Carolina. But anyway, and we have 9.4 from Mike, right?
Yep.
And I'm going to go with 8.9.
I'm
going to go with 8.9. Now, I would have gave it a full 9. The only reason, and I hate doing this, I hate being that guy, but I would have just gave anything if they could have done, even if it was CGI, one amazing epic battle from Luke Skywalker, where we truly see him embody the Force. Not saying he didn't, but just, you know, during that last battle, you know, maybe Kylo jumped down and both of them just go at it like Darth Maul and Obi-Wan Kenobi, you know.
You wanted to see his Force cranked up to 11.
I wanted to see that all the way to 1,000, to be honest with you. But now, I gave it an 8.9, but just, you know, there's a couple of things. You know, I have to agree with my cousin Austin on this. The whole thing with Finn and Rose going off and doing that could have been cut just a little bit, even though it was an essential part of their storyline. I kind of feel that could have been just tweaked a little bit. And we could have had more possibly dynamic with Luke Skywalker and Kylo Ren. And I think that was really my only qualms. I was really happy with all the scenery and the planets and the animals and all the just the lushness of everything. So 8.9 for me right here on nice. PopX.
I think overall that's a pretty darn good score.
The average score between us is 9. So,
yeah.
You know, that's pretty awesome. So
PopX approved.
PopX approved, man. It's certified nerdy right there. That's what we are, certified nerdy.
Was the thief guy Johnny Knoxville from Jackass?
I don't know.
I swear it is. I may be wrong, but when I looked at it, I didn't even look at the credits before the show. But
I didn't stay for credits either. But
I swear it's the Jackass guy.
It could have been Johnny Knoxville. I don't know. Yeah, anyways. Who knows? But so guys, we hope you enjoyed that. This is the final PopX cast for 2017. Now, I can't, from all of us here, we want to thank you guys so much for listening and downloading and subscribing and making PopX a part of your life for 2017. We truly appreciate it. And we see that you're downloading, we see that you're engaging, and we see that you love what we're doing. And that just motivates us to continue on doing what we're doing further. So from all of us here now, we love you, and we want to say Merry Christmas and definitely a Happy New Year going into the new year. So 2018 is going to be awesome for PopX. As you know, the movie spectrum has doubled in terms of Marvel superhero movies and DC and all that. And also 2018, we're going to be bringing some really great new content and new shows that we've never done before. And starting us out, if you come back on episode 69 in January, we have right out the gate, we have probably one of the most epic battles ever, DC versus Marvel. And Stan Lee's in the middle trying to get Batman off of Spidey.
Oh, look out.
So, now when you think about DC versus Marvel, it's not Mortal Kombat style. We're actually going to be talking about, you know, what did you grow up with? Did you grow up with DC? Did you grow up with Marvel? Do you gravitate to Superman? Do you gravitate to Spider-Man? And so, you know, it's going to be more of a personal thing. It's kind of a nice touch. So, and you're going to be getting 4 different perspectives, and hopefully we can get your perspective as well, okay?
Yes, but, it's going to be a good one.
All right, so
we're going to throw down.
2017 in the books, Lindsay and Mike and Austin and wherever everybody else is.
I'm so excited.
I know, right? Oh, my God. So, all right, we're going to wrap it up. You ready to wrap it up?
Let's do this.
I hate to wrap this up, man. It's 2017. I'm like,
but we ended it on a Star Wars note, so it's going to be great.
I know. It is truly an epic galactic battle. As always, if you see something exciting on the shelves or at your local comic shop or in the theater or around geek culture in general, let us know on social media using our hashtag YoPopX. That's YoPopX. And if you use a hashtag, we could use it on a future episode or retweet it or regram it or whatever you want to call it out on the out on the webs. But and also, you know, we're a part of an amazing network here at PopX called the Gonna Geek Network. And you want to definitely check them out. And we have some really great podcasts in our network, one of which I wanted to highlight right at the beginning of the show is the Starlink Tribune. You heard the little promo for the Starlink Tribune, and that's by all of our friends like Chris and JP and all the gang. And they just do an amazing job at bringing, and they dissect all the CW shows in the Arrowverse. Truly an amazing podcast. Be sure to check those guys out. Click on the subscribe button for them and show them some love. And check out all this and many more podcasts over on the official website, GunnaGeek.com.
That's right. And if you want even more of PopX, you can find us on social media. We're everywhere. You can find us on PopXcast at PopXcast on Facebook, Instagram, Tumblr, Twitter, and Pinterest. We also have an email if you want to send us comments and suggestions that way. It's popxcast@gmail.com. And of course, for all future and past shows, make sure you check out our website, www.popxcast.com. Mm-hmm. And I am Lindsay Badger. And I forgot to say earlier, I am your favorite geeky Yogi.
You are.
By the way.
You are a favorite geeky Yogi.
And if you want to get in touch with me or just follow my craziness, it's at LR Badger all over the interwebs.
And I am the host, Mr. Joseph Burke, a.k.a. at Joseph Burke Arts, all over the web. It's not too hard to find me on Twitter, Instagram, whatever you want to imagine. And, of course, hats off to my always truly astounding, amazing, stellar, galactically inclined team PopX. I couldn't do this show without you and Mike all the way up in Atlanta. He's just throwing down all that. Look at that.
Look at that.
Wow. Vader's breaking down, boys.
Go Vader.
I am your grandmother, Luke.
That's awesome. All right, guys. So that's it for PopX. Be sure to join us in the new year in 2018. Episode 69 coming at you. Marvel versus DC Comics on January the 7th will be when that podcast releases. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And we will see you next year right here on PopX Cast. Take care.
From everyone at PopXCast, thanks for listening. Be sure to give us a 5-star rating on iTunes and subscribe for more great content. Drop us an email, popxcast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and YouTube, all at PopXCast. Get your geek on.